2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us and hanging out during the during your quarantine. We hope that you can find some happiness in all the things you're doing at your place and where you are found. And we are certainly the same way. We're like, hey, we want to be able to have as much fun as you do. And we try to entertain ourselves as much as you do. And we've got Ben Anderson still on the horn here with us from KSLSports.com.
Alex, they closed the boat ramps at Lake Powell.
Okay. That just killed Scott's vibe.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about trying to fight through this thing, and I'm like, I can fight through it if I can kind of go isolate myself fishing a little bit.
Well, fish? We saw today that the tigers at the Bronx Zoo are getting the corona, are getting the COVID. Scott, can fish get the COVID?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a terrible question. I don't want to talk about.
Is the COVID living? The water's warm in Lake Powell.
Do you think it's like the mussels where they're like, oh, we got to wash your boat, make sure that the fish
nice
COVID
if
doesn't
the COVID
get on there.
Got the mussels.
That would be killer. Ben Anderson, Ben is like a well-rounded cultural dude. So Ben, I want to know if Carol Baskin is like, if you're kind of Team Carol or if you're kind of a Joe Exotic kind of guy.
She definitely killed her husband. So but I'm more Team Carol than I am Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic?
But she killed her husband. So the lesser of two evils.
Allegedly.
Oh, and she would kill you, too. I guarantee she would
kill you,
too.
My favorite
I would sleep with one eye open if I was with
my
her.
Favorite tweet today that has been out, like this is where we're at. The Bronx Zoo said, here's where we're at. The Bronx Zoo says some tigers have COVID-19, which, you know, some species can carry it, whatever. And then Cardi B weighs in with, I know how they got it, Carol Blanken Baskin. Like, that, like this is where we're at in our society right now. So I just want everybody to know things are weird. It's all weird for everybody, and this is where our life is online. So, and I haven't previously talked to Ben about this, and so I just know where we're at as a society. Everybody's watching.
He had a good take on it. He was definitive.
He's right on it. All right, Ben. There's some rumors flying around about the possibility of some changing up of some things in the front office of the Utah Jazz. What do we know?
Justin Zanuck has permission to interview with the Chicago Bulls. And that's, you know, he's always been looking for kind of a VP of basketball operations job. I mean, he's historically done that. That's why he's left the Jazz previously when he joined the Milwaukee Bucks, kind of with the assumption that he was going to go in, be the, you know, VP of basketball ops in waiting. And then they passed over him for, I think it was John Horst is the GM now in
Milwaukee.
But, yeah, he kind of had that job and was waiting to take it. And then they went a different direction. I think it was surprising. And it's one of the reasons why Zanuck came back with the Jazz. But he's certainly been looking for that next opportunity.
If he does go, who is there someone that takes his place? What happens within the organization if he goes?
I would be surprised if they stayed in-house, I guess, if they were looking for somebody like that that would come in and kind of be in, a go-between for kind of the day-to-day stuff between Quinn Snyder and Dennis Lindsay, I should say, just as far as, you know, somebody who's got access to agents. Remember, Justin Zanuck's a former agent. That's his background, similar to Rob Pelinka with the Lakers. And I know the Jazz really liked his ability to get in contact with other agents. It made tracking down players for the draft a little easier for everyone involved. It just kind of made some of those relationships easier. And I'm guessing the Jazz like having that type of guy. And I don't know if there's another one of those guys that already exists within the locker room.
So when it comes down to, I mean, this is a guy who hasn't been, I mean, the thing he'll be known for, obviously, is the Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic summer, which ended up being one of the most wild off-season summers in Jazz fan history. But I guess the question is, does Dennis Lindsay end up kind of taking that on, or would they just end up having to wholesale have to search for a new GM altogether?
I would bet in the short term, Dennis Lindsay would take that on, but with the league suspended, and who knows when the season's going to end. So here's the weird thing, guys. If they don't cancel the season now, nothing happens on its normal plan, meaning the draft probably doesn't happen on, I think it's June 24th this season. So the draft probably doesn't happen in June. That gets pushed back. And if that gets pushed back, then free agency gets pushed back out of July. So, you know, there's certainly not going to be a summer league this year, it doesn't seem like. So you've got these weird timelines where they may have an extra month or 2 months to hire somebody to come in and fill that job. And if that's the case, I think you do that. I think you take your time and you kick all the tires and you figure out who's the best candidate to come in and replace it. The Jazz aren't going to be, I think, forced quickly to make any decisions like that. They're going to have time. And knowing that Justin Zanuck is hiring or has the opportunity to be hired elsewhere, I'm sure they're already thinking about contingency plans.
If the season ended, no playoffs, they just said, look, we just it's not going to work. We can't make it happen, whatever reason. What's the assessment of this decision with bringing in Bojan and Mike Conley? Do the Jazz feel good about this? Where do they assess this? And
yeah, then, how do they handle contracts with that this kind of stuff too?
But do they feel like it's been a good thing, or you know what? How do they look at this trade and this move? Has this been a good thing for the Jazz if everything just ended today?
You know, in some ways, I bet the season being canceled would almost be a success if you're just measuring it from a Mike Conley perspective. Because I think one thing the Jazz probably wanted to say and haven't is that this was always a two-year project. This was always about getting 2 years out of Mike Conley. And if he clicked in right away and was brilliant, great, and the Jazz would have been contenders. And clearly that did not happen. So I think they've been wanting to say, hey, we brought him in. We're happy to have him for 2 years because he's likely going to opt in for the second season because it's a $30 million contract. He's not going to get that anywhere else. Then they can say, hey, he needed a year to fit in, to figure it out, to adjust to the culture, and then year two, he's going to be really good. And I actually think that is going to be the case. I think that's going to come to fruition, whether we see, you know, a playoffs or not this right. year. I think he's going to be much better in season two.
People
so
don't...
in that sense, I think the Jazz can point to that and say, hey, that was successful. That actually won, or that's actually a win, and we don't have to talk about this first year. Whether it's actually a disappointment or not, I think it definitely has been from the perspective of the fans, even though I would say the front office probably doesn't feel that way.
People don't realize the altitude. That's something you have to adjust to, and that does take 2 years. Not an easy thing to handle.
Oh, come on. That's like,
I mean, it's not as high as Denver, but it's still, you know, from Memphis, it's a big jump.
Ben, one other thing here. I want to know your vibe on the – and it seems like the NBA is more of a gaming community than any of the other sports, I think, as a whole. It's kind of culturally across the league, it's a thing. Everybody plays you know, their FIFA, they play their NBA 2K with themselves, the tournament stuff that's been going on. They're currently whittling down who the best player on the virtual court is. Does that grab your attention? Does it grab people's attention in general? Is it like an okay go? I haven't watched any of these fake tournaments.
So I watched it last night, and I was actually somewhat impressed by how interesting it was. I know it's been disappointing for a lot of people, and certainly, you know, Donovan Mitchell got eliminated in one game. So that was a bummer. But the game itself was actually kind of funny to watch. And you get to see Donovan Mitchell's competitive side, his personality,
right.
his trash talk, which you certainly don't get when you watch him on the floor. You certainly don't hear his trash talk unless he's talking to a fan directly. So I thought that was fun. You just need the best personalities. But if you're looking at the best personalities, you should expand beyond just the NBA. You should have him playing against NFL players
sure.
or NHL players or Major League Baseball players and just get, you know, get Mike Trout versus Donovan Mitchell and cross-promote and figure out a way. And haven't played Madden. Don't even haven't played the NBA. Haven't played, you know, a game that everyone plays
yeah,
or
real
more
sport,
popular
football.
Game.
Where's Gordon Hayward and all this? He's the one who advertises all the gaming headsets and stuff. Is he any good though? It might not be his game though.
Again? I mean, hasn't he hurt it? He hurt his thumb and then he hurt his hand again. So this might be the worst quarantine for Gordon Hayward.
And he's having another girl. No, I don't know. That would have been another amazing announcement for them to make. All right, Ben Anderson, our insider, of course, for KSLSports.com for the Utah Jazz. Jazz Notes is the podcast. Anything he writes up about the Jazz is something you want to follow. So go ahead and follow Ben on Twitter and all the social sites, and go on also to KSLSports.com. Read his bylines. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Guys, let's talk next week.
Stay safe and stay healthy. All right, we're taking the break here. We're coming back. More to go. News, traffic, and weather right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.